The Pythagorean Curtain, written and produced by Brett Opegard, a study on sound, technology, and storytelling for Texas Tech University's online publishing class, taught by Dr. Rich Rice in the spring of 2009.
Who called the special semicircle?
Pythagoras himself. I don't know, it must be something big. He ordered a curtain hung, and only some fool put it up backward. So if it was pulled, we wouldn't even be able to see the teacher.
Here comes Cylon now. He's always trying to show off in front of the master. What a kid. Acousmatics. Listeners, now, entering the gymnasium, the original philosopher, the Olympic champion, more truthful than the Pythian. He who has seen the Sphinx and survived the great Persian wars. The father of numbers, the long-haired Samian. He of the golden thigh and silver tongue, the founder of this noble and most humble group of ours. Certainly no square, and don't ever call him Pythy.
Thank you for that introduction, Cylon. And my students, my listeners, thank you for your warm reception. You might be wondering why I'm standing behind the curtain today and you cannot see me. No, Cylon did not screw up again. I've had a vision. Actually, I've heard a voice. And this voice, this acousmatic sound, instructed me to make some changes around here. As part of your training, you will no longer see me again. You will only hear me. There's trouble, my friends. Trouble right here in southern Italy. All the young people do nowadays is read and write, text impressioning. They are losing their abilities with one of their primary senses. They no longer hear the world. From this day forth, I will never distract you in such a debased visual manner again. My acousmatics, my listeners, I will remain behind this curtain at all times during my lectures to help you focus on my words as sounds that I project to you for your oral infotainment.
But Master, why do we need sound when the written word is clearly the technology of the future?
Do we no longer need taste either? Or smells? Should we lose all touch with our senses in pursuit of this detachment from humanity dubbed the written word? Think of the ways in which sound is superior. Can you argue back and forth with a papyrus? Can you walk through the woods while reading a wooden tablet? Has there been a word created yet that can truly replicate a laugh? Hear me now. This is my voice. It's real, loaded with inflections. It climbs the mountains of pitch with valleys of pauses in between. Like music, my power of speech isn't about the notes I play. It's about the tone of my song, the space around the words. That's what really tells the story. On the way over here, I heard a group of blacksmiths at work. Their hammering tugged on me like the sweet calls of a goldfish. I listened closely to their sounds, and there was something magical in that noise. The harmony seemed mystic to me. So I stopped and examined their tools. These instruments were simple ratios of each other, one half the size of the other, another two-thirds the size, and so on. It's the same when I play my lyre. Harmony comes from strings of proportional lengths. We all know that music nurtures our relationship to the gods. And here's another example, I tell you, of the divine mathematical code delivering us a gift which can lift our moods, heal our wounds, help us to relax, and comfort us in times of sadness. Can any scroll do that?
Yet like the wind, Master, our voice eventually blows out, never to be heard again. Writing can be eternal, frozen in time, and passed from place to place and generation to generation. Don't you want that?
The songs the birds sing today carry the voices of the ones who taught them those tunes. Because I listen, I once heard the cry of a dead friend and the howl of a dog. Sound is everywhere, all around you, all of the time. The universe evolved from sound, that which is constantly changing, constantly in flux, fading in and fading out, one blending into the next. Writing is bondage, binding you to linear thought, rigidly marching left to right, down the scroll, line by line.
But master, that's the sort of efficiency that got the great pyramids built. I think we need more of that sort of structure.
That's why you will never be one of us, Cylon, and why I need to remain behind this veil when I teach. It's also why my students, my acousmatics, that to continue to study with me, I will require that you abide by a strict code of silence from now on, breaking it only to sing hymns to Apollo when fellow students need help in healing. This approach will strengthen your powers of concentration and encourage deeper reflection in your life.
It will bring you closer to the ethereal. Words usually are thrown around carelessly, misrepresenting you and your true nature. If there is ever any doubt as to what you should say, our rule will be to always remain silent. Meanwhile, let's give back the power of perception to our ears. Let your mind once again participate. Let it create reality, rather than just having it wash over you in the words and images. When I bang this gong, let your ears open again and appreciate sound and silence.